Hey everybody, welcome to the Forest Podcast. I am Mike Evans.
I'm Kenneth Love.
I'm Roger St. Pierre.
And we are your daily tech design and development dolphins. Now, what
do you
think about that?
Cancer.
Look at those beautiful dolphins there. As you might notice, today we are on Google Hangout. We are not broadcasting. And it's an interesting show. If you see my studio, we're definitely going to be calling this the Under Construction Studio. There are lights hanging from the ceiling. I have a power drill on
the
table.
That's why Skype wasn't working.
Because there's lights on from the ceiling?
You destroyed the feng shui.
I have a pile of nails directly in front of me. I have no desk space, so it's going to be a fun fucking show.
Fuck shui is over.
I'm tired. I'm sleepy. I was up all night.
You're drunk.
Belligerent. Yeah, so what's this first thing? Because we all need more things to spin.
This is spin.js. Woo! This way you don't have to have a spinning image. You can just use CSS3 in Canvas.
Why do I need a spinning image?
I know it's CSS3. To show people that something's loading.
Why is your site so slow that they need something to get them
maybe
to stay
you're
there?
Waiting. Maybe you're waiting on input from them. And you're uploading an image. Come on, guys.
Maybe, I guess. Maybe.
Okay. It's kind of cool.
So instead of using an image and being all fast, you're going to do it with Canvas and be all slow.
It's not Canvas. It's just CSS3.
Oh, you said it was a Canvas.
I went and looked through. It's not Canvas. Shut up.
Then how does it work? I don't understand.
It's a div with position relative, no height, and then they adjust the top left corner of the div so it basically makes it spin around, and they change the color of it as it spins.
That's outrageous.
It's a pretty genius solution.
Is it using JavaScript?
Yeah. So JavaScript and then CSS3 for like the colors.
Rigel's anti-JavaScript simply because he doesn't know how it works.
More or less.
He's like, what is this
that's
JavaScript
not really a good
bullshit?
You don't know how brain surgery works either, but if you needed it, you'd certainly.
Then that's
it,
why right? I don't believe in brains, sir. What are these brains you keep speaking of?
There's nothing inside my head.
Full of shit.
Let's go to the next one.
There's a little man in a rocking chair.
Go to the next one. ClarityCon.com.
ClarityCon.
You know, if you have a consulting company, you probably shouldn't use con as an abbreviation of that.
Well, no. Everybody thinks they're going to a conference.
Well, it's either a conference or it's a con.
No,
right?
it's not a con because nobody would ever take advantage of another person.
No, never.
This is actually a pretty good little intro, man, to, oh, you know, what size should I pick for my header and body text, and how should I go between my different styles and say which is more important, blah, blah, blah.
It is. There's a lot of interesting shit on here. We've covered stuff like this before. So it's not anything necessarily new. Like, we're not going to be like, you've never read this before.
Right.
Which you probably have. But it's still, you know, interesting to read.
I wonder if
it's
people
cool.
can tell
got,
that we
the...
spent 55 minutes before the show to try and get it to work.
Let's not talk about that.
It's cool. It looks like they've got a little Mac widget for rhythm and scale, which is kind of cool. Like it's a little web app, and then you can download a dashboard widget.
What's a web app? Oh, you mean a
website?
It's
not a web app, but it's
like
it's
spiders
not a,
you know, doing something.
Apps are on your desktop, sir.
It is a little web widget. We'll call it that. It is not a full website. It is a web.
Is
widget.
It a spacely sprocket?
How many times can you use the W sound? PL.
I don't know, but it's cool.
I should do an entire show like Pontius Pilate from The Life of Brian.
I think you should.
Roman. The Lycans and Julian. It's way beyond your time, Rigel. You weren't even born.
A little bit.
That's a fucking genius.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Let's go to the next one. You should see it. This is from Dadgum. Dadgum.com. Not gonna say too much about the content of the article, but the title says all that you really need to know. Avoid premature optimization does not mean write dumb code. because they tell you what was it, Paul Nuth or whatever his name was, said that premature optimization is the root of all evil, right? Because people get this whole idea of, oh, I can optimize the code, I can optimize the code, I can optimize the code, and they just sit here and they just keep optimizing the code.
And then you've written 8 lines of code for the day.
Yeah, you've written 8 lines of code, but they're fucking perfect 8 lines of code, but the problem is that you wrote 8 lines of code. Nothing actually got accomplished, you just made really pretty lines of code. So, that's not something you want to do, that's the root of all evil. But that doesn't mean that you want to do stupid things in order to write more code.
Doesn't mean you can just write what the fuck ever you please.
Right. So you've got to find the balance between good code that's decently optimized, not like all the way optimized, but good code, and not going, you know, insane.
I concur.
Right. That's the way it is. Let's move on. Neil Poole, see how fast we can go on days when shit doesn't work? Neil Poole, this is cross-site scripting via error reporting notices in PHP. This is a giant fucking bug in PHP that's been around for a while.
You can drive a truck through it.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. I was really impressed when I saw that this actually, like, worked. So PHP has this error reporting setting, and you can set it to all or info, like all these different levels of error reporting. And then you can like cause these errors to be thrown, right? Like you specify a key of an array that doesn't exist or something like that, and it'll throw an error. The thing is, though, it displays, like in that case, the error that you spawned, like you were looking for key poo bag, and that doesn't exist, right? So it says, hey, key poo bag doesn't exist. Here's the great thing. It doesn't escape that. So someone malicious, if they could find a way to force it to look for a key that circumvented something in your system so that it now would display that error plus all sorts of other fun stuff, like maybe some JavaScript.
I'm looking for, yeah the precise
one. Can do some cross-site scripting across your throughout your site. That's fun, huh?
That's so very nice.
No, it's not. The thing is,
I assume you're
only
not supposed to be running your production server in error mode.
You're not supposed to be well, if you run error reporting, you would ideally have it set to something like really high so that it doesn't report normal everyday errors. It only reports when something catastrophically fails,
right?
Or you would have some sort of error handler that takes care of this on its own. But we're talking about PHP, so there's a really good chance there's a whole lot of code out there that's not written to proper best practices.
You're racist, you know that.
I am not racist, I'm speaking from experience. yeah. So, anyway, it's out there. There's apparently other ways to get around it, so that's fun too. So yeah, watch out.
I'm watching the next video with the flowers and the text boxes. That's kind of neat.
You're watching creative text boxes?
They use Dreamweaver. It kind of bothers me.
This is with Dreamweaver?
It doesn't matter if you're using Dreamweaver or not. It's a cool effect.
Well, I think
I'm trying to understand what it's supposed to do.
Or Corel Draw. We've had our discussion about Corel Draw. It's like,
let's just, hey, just skip the whole idea. This is something that
dude,
Eric Meyer actually came up with like years ago, but now they've made it a handy little plugin.
CorelDRAW is so fucking old that they ran out of numbers, and now it's just like CorelDRAW Extreme.
I don't think it's so old they ran out of numbers. I think it's that they've had so many versions they ran out of numbers.
They
although if you to talk about this though, right? Fucking, I saw yesterday Chrome updated. The stable channel, and I swear to God, it's not a version number, it's an IP address. It was like 13.172.0.122. That's not a fucking version number.
Yeah.
It's an IP address. No one should be updating to that.
It's an Easter egg. You gotta go check it out.
It's an Easter egg? You've gotta find out what one thing they updated to make that point.
Right,
point
no,
release.
I mean, you go to that server, you gotta telnet into it.
And then you can watch Star Wars played out in
and
text
ASCII,
on your
precisely,
screen.
Yes. It'd be magnificent.
So anyway, this is kind of cool. This is a little jQuery plugin that will create, I'm going to say infinite, but that's probably the wrong number, number of divs that are sized to the appropriate location that are put into a certain area so that you can, I say jQuery, it may not require jQuery, so that it will do like a clipping path.
Yeah, no jQuery, just got to run some CGI scripts on there.
CGI scripts. You know, I came across something the other day. It was like talking about learning to use Python for dynamic websites, and it was fucking CGI. And it wasn't that old. It was like 2 years old. I'm like, wait, CGI in this with pylons and turbo gears and Django and WSGI and all this stuff. You're going to talk about doing Python through CGI.
Looking at their example, this is basically made so that if, you know, your sister or somebody is a cat lady who likes to make fancy little posters with Mr. Snuggles on there, that you can do the text.
That is definitely part of it. Yes. but no, I mean, this is like if you're trying to do like a magazine layout, right? And you've got a picture of a big spaceship or something over on the side. Ooh. And you want to make the text run around the spaceship. You can do it with this.
What if it's a Magic the Gathering player?
I went with something that our audience would know. If it's a Magic the Gathering player, then they won't get a date because they'll be judged prematurely.
Bitch. That didn't make any sense.
It didn't. Verily!
No!
Logo design for Actorant and Bia creation. I say Bia. Is it Bia? Bia?
I don't know. She must have fallen in hard times. She's got ads on the site now, man. What's going on?
But they're from the...
Hey, everybody's seeing Verlay 75 cents.
Did you get a... did
cash.
You at least get a... I got a cool ad. I got a Geek Coke. Desk ad.
What'd you say?
I got a what? Geek Desk ad.
I don't know what that is. Don't care.
You don't know what the Geek Desk is? It's a standing desk with a motor in it.
I know the Geek Desk. One.
My, or Mark, say, or Mike, did, Mike didn't.
Did you say God? You got a Geek Desk God?
No, a Geek Desk ad from the deck.
Rigel.
Oh, ad.
When someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes.
Only a golden one.
Fuck yeah.
So anyway, Verily made a couple of ads. And or ads. See what you did? See what you did? You're over here on this screen. That's why I keep looking
she
over.
She made some logos.
Like, see what you did? She made some logos for Actorant and Bia... Whatever the fuck it is, creations.
I bet she charged $1,000 for every one of those sketches.
Probably. I would. Her sketches are nice, man. Look at those sketches. You're like, I don't even need you to go into Illustrator. I'm just going to use a sketch.
One just looks like a house. Number two. It's like a little tent. It's
number
all 3D
two,
and shit.
Two, number three.
13, I like a number 18 17, with all the houses.
18. These are just houses.
Little boxes.
I think it's good, though.
She was just like sitting there going, I'm really tired of living in an apartment.
She was watching the intro of Weeds like over and over and over again.
She probably got tired of living in her apartment.
They're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all...
It's really kind of sad that after like the second season, the best part of that show was the theme song. You're just making the same joke I already made, Rigel. That's why I'm cutting you off. Flickr!
I know.
That's our next one.
This
is Tim George 86. He put up a set on Flickr of the graphic design guidelines
from
NASA.
What's NASA?
From NASA. This isn't something you're going to normally see. This is kind of cool. Like, they show how the logo placement has to be on cars and shirts and shit.
I think George Carlin
like a shopping...
called them Nassholes.
Nassholes? Yeah.
Nassholes?
But... George Carlin was a little bit, like, he was funny, and I like the dude, but he was seriously, like, conspiracy theory bullshit kind of stuff.
This thing looks ghetto. It's from 76.
It's old, yeah.
What does that mean that it has to look ghetto? Everything from 1976 is ghetto.
Well, the reason it looks ghetto is from 1976, and it hasn't been updated since then. I guarantee
well,
you
let's
this
be
is
real.
Still what NASA uses.
But I,
well,
no,
they changed
the
logo
NASA's
now,
branding is strong. But NASA's branding is still really strong.
It doesn't have to even be strong. They are the only national space agency.
There's
I
the
know
European
it doesn't stand for
one.
Space agency.
There's the European
Doesn't the Soviet Union have one?
And Canada has one,
no,
too.
No, no, no. I'm the only national one for the U.S.
Soviet
for
Union,
the U.S.,
doesn't exist.
They
anymore.
Are our only one. Hey, Michelle Bachmann said something about the USSR was trying to do something in the U.S.
What?
The other day. She went off on some rant about how, like, the USSR was trying to, like, take over.
She's listening to the Beatles all day, that's why.
I guess she doesn't realize that they've been gone for 20 years now.
We won!
Don't show any signs of coming back.
Something.
Hey, maybe that's their sign of coming back. They're just going to come back and take over America.
I do like the front page of the NASA handbook. It's just, you know, white and then red. Haha.
It's just NASA.
Oh, that's creepy. I see the ad on here is a Living Social Detroit one-day spa deal, and it's just bunches of feet.
All right. Let's get back to the show here.
Enough about Mike's feet.
No, it's bunches of feet. I don't know where those come from. All right, the Daily.
The Daily.
The history page.
Apparently Times New Roman didn't come from where everybody thinks it came from.
It didn't come from the Romans?
It never came from the Romans, time. No. Everybody thought that it came from Stanley Morrison, who wrote a blistering article in 1929 arguing that Times Old Roman, the font of the Times of London, was dated, clunky, badly printed, and in need of his help.
Okay.
So the paper said, fine, make us a better one then.
And then he did.
So he did.
Oh.
Well, he claims he did. Everybody, the story says he did. Right? But now, some dude up in Canada in the late 1980s discovered, apparently, that Morrison may have plagiarized the font. And that a wooden boat designer from Boston named William Starling Burgess, because if you're a boat designer, you have to have three names, probably created the font.
I know where he got it from. He got it from Times Old Roman.
Yeah, he just went and put new and improved on it.
It was like,
but then everybody was like, we can't type it in Times New and Improved Roman. So we're just going to shorten it. Times New Roman. Done. Right?
Doesn't that seem reasonable to you?
I think it sounds pretty good.
All right.
I'm all about it. Pee-haw! Blog. That's how you say that, right?
I don't know. Something about Paris.
Pee-haw! 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 No, this is kind of cool. They made a little postcard to send back to their family and friends when they were in Paris.
Was Paris that boring that they had time to do
this? They live in Paris. Well, they live in Paris. They had plenty of time. But it's not just like a little postcard. It's got CSS3 animations and all.
This is pretty good. I'm going to Paris in September.
The clouds kind of move, and the light thing swirls around. It's neat.
I don't see.
We'll have to do an episode of Forest Podcast in front of the Eiffel Tower when I'm in Paris in September.
But no.
They didn't even want that thing. They are like, this thing's ugly. Why is this in the middle of our city? Please tear it down.
And then you can download the source files. You get the PSD, you get the CSS, you get the HTML, you get everything. All the stuff that you need and want. You get all of it. It's all right there.
Why are cats
so
in
could,
Paris
you could probably
so large?
Modify this.
So you can modify you can this. You could go change the Eiffel Tower into like the Luxor and be like, greetings from Las Vegas, and not have to do
anything
else.
Or you could change it to, what do they have, the Chrysler building in Detroit.
Yeah, it'd be like, greetings from Detroit. And since nobody's ever been to Detroit, they wouldn't know you were lying.
I just don't understand why cats in Paris are so big, apparently.
I think it's a dog.
That's not a dog.
That's a freaking cat. It's on the roof
That's
of
a
the
big
house.
Fucking dog still. These animals are like a third the length of the roofs of these houses.
Maybe it's a horse.
That is
maybe Parisian horses like to climb.
That is a 13-foot-long cat.
Who are you to say that a Parisian horse can't climb?
I don't know.
PinchZoom.com. Woo! You know, pinch to zoom.
Zoom, zoom.
Oh, an HTML5.
Spread to zoom. You pinched...
I pinched a what?
So
what do
this
I do?
Is, you pinch. Okay, I guess you zoom, but you zoom out.
Precisely. Zoom is bi-directional.
You pinch to minify.
What is this video?
And you spread to magnify. So, this is the anatomy of an HTML5 mobile app. We had one the other day talking about like how browsers work, right? So this is how an HTML5 mobile app works. So you kind of get to see all the little different pieces and stuff.
Does HTML5 have like? I mean, isn't the Pinch stuff part of the browsers? It's not part of the website.
Dude, the fucking site's called Pinch Zoom, not the.
Oh.
It's not like a plugin.
What a moron.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Nothing, I accept.
Anyway, if you want to learn a little bit more about what's back behind your HTML5 mobile apps, because you're building one but you don't know what the fuck you're building on, this is the thing to go look at.
I think you need to get the Pinch to Zoom plugin. Add on.
Yeah, maybe.
This is kind of cool.
Maybe so.
Why are Asians so good with grids? Huh? What's up with that? Kenneth doesn't know.
They like structure, man.
Rigel doesn't know. Nobody knows.
Why Asians are so good with grids?
Yeah. Like the last... You got Koivin, and now we got this guy.
To steal something from Eddie Izzard, you know, he's talking about how, like, the Germans and the Japanese are very good at organizing. We should drop them into war zones so they can, like, organize peace really quickly.
That's a terrible idea.
That's why they've got the grids thing.
Eddie Izzard is such a dumbass.
The Swiss are really good at grids. Like, the Swiss have had grids in their design since, like, the 90s.
That's not the point.
Hey, you want to know something? People have been using grids in design for as long as there's been design.
Uh-uh.
Because proportions are pleasing to the eye.
Uh-uh.
So, yeah, it's not like anybody invented it.
Have you seen some of the new JCPenney t-shirts?
Like, I'm too pretty to do homework, yes. So my brother does it?
There is no yes. grid there, sir.
There is no grid there, no. But it's also from JCPenney, so are you surprised?
But they're doing it right.
There were like 18 fonts on that shirt. There weren't even 18 words on the shirt.
There were multiple fonts and multiple in the same word.
I'm very confused on what he's trying to explain here. Can you someone explain this fucking link?
Why you gotta use language for the sake of it, right?
This is good. This is actually really good. I read through this whole thing, and you know how rare that is for me.
Yeah, because so,
no, he's talking about too. This is a really long article.
I can read. So, okay, what they're talking about is that most things on iOS have about a 44 pixel vertical rhythm. So
everybody poops.
Each thing is about 44 pixels tall. Right?
Right.
But Apple doesn't actually hold themselves to this. Because there's like 11 pixels of space between a label and a field down below it. We'll think of this as a legend. We'll talk about this in HTML5 terms, or HTML terms. Between a legend and a field set, there's 11 pixels of space.
How did he get these measurements? Did he print it out and then take a ruler to it? I don't understand.
Probably in Photoshop.
He probably took a screenshot and then measured it.
No, that's...
As Rigel just said. You know.
I didn't know you could do that.
As people typically do for finding dimensions on digital items.
That's ridiculous.
And there's 22 pixels of space between the bottom of a field set and the next legend. And it gets worse. There's only 20 pixels for the status bar. Buttons that are up on like the status bar are actually 29 pixels instead of being like 44 or 22 or something like that, where it would fit into that same rhythm.
When you make the rules, you can break the rules.
The tab bar at the bottom is 49 pixels. The navigation bar with the prompt is 74 pixels. So these don't fit into any sort of real rhythm. So,
well, they do. The other 600 items have that 44.
It doesn't matter, though. Everything should have that same rhythm.
Yeah, some things.
Otherwise, it's not really a rhythm.
You gotta break the rules every now and then for specific situations.
No, you don't get to break the rules. Not on something like this. Because you've set up this rhythm, you've set up these design guidelines, you've got to obey them.
Nobody else agrees with you.
What? I don't care.
If you read Ordering Disorder by Vin, he specifically says, do not take it as gospel that you must rely on your baseline always.
You done yet?
No. But I got nothing else to say.
All right. So what the author suggests is that everything should be done with a 4-pixel rhythm instead of a 44-pixel rhythm. We can still get the 44-pixel items, But some other stuff has to be slightly tweaked. And it's pretty flexible because at 4 pixels, you can add a fuck ton of 4 pixels or subtract all the way down to just 4 pixels.
I got a brilliant idea. Why don't we make it a 1 pixel? Huh?
Because that would be way too close.
That kind of defeats the whole purpose.
4 pixels kind of defeats the purpose.
Not really, because if you check it out, if you look, is the other thing you can click for comparison between the original and fixed. And it's a very slight adjustment in most places, but it actually is fairly noticeable, which is really neat. I mean, you can actually see that it's, decently different from one place to the next. And it does look better.
All this talk of rhythm, does this mean white people can't be designers anymore?
Always with the racist stuff.
It wasn't racist. It was a question.
I think that we've had enough decent white people designers to prove that white people can design.
But that was before Rhythm was brought into it.
Rhythm's always been around. I remember them telling me about Rhythm when I was in design school.
Rigel, drop a beat and let's see if Kenneth can clap to it.
Not that kind of rhythm. Not that kind of rhythm.
Such an awful episode.
You're not making it any better.
Did you type something in the chat?
No. Let's go.
I gave you a link.
HTML only.
Let's go to the next one. HTML only. The significance of proper markup in web design. This is my link.
This is me, man. I subscribed to this RSS a long time ago, but it's from Patrick Cox. He brought up a really good point. And basically he tells a little story of he was on his way home and he was trying to load up Redbox, which I'm assuming is like a DVD rental place in the States.
Yes.
But his semi-smart BlackBerry phone was stuck in the CSS and he's blaming T-Mobile. But anyways, he just pulls out the bare bones HTML, and it sucked. It basically told him that his cart was full and he hadn't even signed in. So he goes into explaining why having your site work with the CSS turned off is really important. So this got me thinking today. I was like, well, what if instead of targeting trying to fix my CSS for IE6 and whatnot, I'm just going to turn CSS off. If IE6, no fucking CSS. You just get my blank HTML. So he goes into HTML styling and just making sure it just works.
So he basically reinvented, Dave Shea's IE only style sheet where it was just content?
I haven't seen that before. 5 years ago. But he basically talks about the significance of proper markup in web design. I enjoyed it and it's fucking cool.
It's like the significance of not having arsenic in your milk. I mean, like, yes.
Okay. Yeah, this isn't
fucking rocket science.
I don't know. Anyways.
I mean, he's correct.
I haven't seen that article before, okay. And apparently I don't listen to the fucking Forest podcast enough.
What, the David Shea article? That article is fucking 5 years old.
I don't remember if it was Shea or not, but it was one of them. It was either Shea or Bowman or...
You know, when it gets down to it, I just don't trust sites that have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 ads on it.
This is an ugly
There's a lot of ads.
That's an ugly
Envato has
site.
A lot of ads, and I trust Envato.
You do?
Why?
Well, their screencasts are terrible. But
okay, so why do you trust them?
They normally have some good tutorials. They've been helping me learn Ruby.
But their screencasts are horrible.
Their screencasts are horrible.
Which are tutorials?
I was watching one with Jeffrey Way, and oh my goodness, he was like stumbling. It was like me trying to explain something to my boss. He's like, oops, sorry, I have too many tabs open. Oops, sorry, forgot to close that. It was like brutal. I stopped watching. It was the worst.
Kenneth Love, can you tell me why IE9 deletes stuff?
Yeah, we're going to move on. TechnoWeenie.net, IE9 deletes stuff. So, those of you who understand REST, there's at least a few of us out there, know that there are four five basic HTTP methods, right? You've got get and post, which everybody knows about. There's put, patch, and delete as well.
Wait, what's patch?
Now,
I didn't know of patch.
I don't know what patch is. This is the first time I've heard of patch. Put and delete, I'm familiar with. This is the first time I've talked about patch. Anyway, though, I'm only talking about delete for this time. So the delete method, what it's supposed to do is you would pass delete as the method, and you would pass like some sort of identifier, and then your server would delete that resource.
Yes.
Right? Makes perfect sense.
If you use now, Rails, you fake it with JavaScript.
Yeah. Well, you have to because most browsers don't send it very well.
Right.
Most browsers don't send it at all. So the thing is, though, what's supposed to happen is once you delete it, the browser is supposed to respond to you with a GET request. It's supposed to send back a GET, just like it does on a post. After you do the post and everything is done, it's supposed to send back a GET. And then your GET request is safe. It's supposed to be safe, right? GETs are always supposed to be safe. And so then the browser just loads whatever gets sent back to it as a GET, because that's what it's supposed to do. IE9, however, apparently finds that like delete doesn't equal post, so it does a delete, and then it comes back and runs another delete.
Oh, that's a terrible idea. Why did you decide to do that? Potentially,
you get multiple deletes running at the same time.
I like it. I like the picture. It's a strange world. Let's keep it that way.
Yeah. Somebody from the IE internals blog has replied to it and says that apparently this behavior is correct according to HTTP 1.0, and IE has been following delete redirects since at least IE6.
Well, you know what? HTTP 1.0 is fucking stupid.
HTTP 1.0 is pretty damn old. And also, this is a case where IE is the only browser doing it. Everyone else is converting to GET. So IE should probably change so that they fit what everyone else does. And then the standard, if the newest version of the standard still contains that, can be updated as well.
That's I think we need a new standards body.
So yes. I just did a quick...
We need a WG for HTTP.
So I just did a quick Google search on patch. Patch is used to apply partial modifications to a resource.
Makes sense. That's what a patch would do. But yeah,
there's also
people,
connect and options.
Most people don't send most of these. Most people only send GET or POST because, as Mike said, you've got to fake it with JavaScript. So yeah, not much fun. But anyway, next is Bootstrap from Twitter, which we all love.
I've been using it.
It's awesome.
It's fucking
a lot.
Beautiful.
Hours a day.
I am really, really happy with it. I'm not very good at design.
I have a problem with it, though.
Oh, you just
there's
don't like
two
the
things
padding.
I don't like.
They updated the thing about that, too, Kenneth.
Did they?
But anyways,
I haven't played with it in probably a week or so.
The official docs now suggest adding a 40-pixel padding to the top of your body.
Anyhow,
that makes sense. That would
solve
that problem. It's still wrong, but that would work.
It's really nice. So Bootstrap is a toolkit from Twitter designed to kickstart development of web apps and sites.
I'm going to be really surprised if we're the first time any of our listeners have heard of this.
Yeah, if you live
this
under
has been
rock,
out for about a week
what
and a half.
What Kenneth is trying to say is neither I nor him added this to the list today.
No, neither of us added this to the list today.
No. It is in, like, four shows ahead, though.
Yeah, but we were just going to skip it when we got to it.
Yeah, because everybody knows about it. Everybody
really
fucking knows about Bootstrap.
You know what?
It is. It's beautiful. It's amazing. As I said, I do have one problem with that, which is that their header bar, the menu bar up top, doesn't properly clear itself. So you end up having to either add padding to the body, or as they originally suggested, wrapping your entire site with a section tag, which is amazingly non-semantic.
How are they getting...
What they should be doing is not requiring you to add padding to body on your own, or not requiring you to use the section. The menu should either A, clear itself, which it should be doing, or B, using some sort of after rule, put in its own padding. Something that's 40 pixels tall or whatever. For those who are going to say, but IE6 doesn't support it. Fuck IE6.
I don't think IE6 is even listed. No, they support IE7 plus forward.
Yeah, I know.
Seven?
Which is,
I'm just saying. It really shouldn't even be supporting 7 now, because 8's the official. 9, no wait. Did 9 go official yet?
No.
Can you guess?
Eight is still the only. Eight is stable. Nine is beta, and 10 is developer preview.
Can you
right?
get any IE?
No,
test?
No. Nine's. Fuck you.
Can you get any IE past 5.5 on a Mac?
No.
They never made any past 5.5.
So
on a Mac.
Why do you need it? I don't understand.
Because like 40% of the web is still of the good web is still on
who?
The good web, like the shit that matters.
What? I don't understand. Like who's not using a Mac? Like why do we care about those people?
Well, it's not even who's not using a Mac. It's who's using IE.
Yeah. Welcome.
Well, you know what's fun? You know, too many people use IE. But like the thing is
they really don't.
But the problem is the people that use IE. Are the people that sign the checks? So
now, see, that's absolutely racist.
They really don't.
That's totally racist.
How is that racist?
It's not racist at all.
You know,
that's not racist. It's ignorant. That's what it is. Teach them.
No,
teach them to use something better.
Besides,
besides all that, the only people that have a valid complaint to, oh, I have to use IE insert version here. Are the people that are building something for, like, an intranet, right? People that are building something for an intranet are not fucking using Bootstrap from Twitter. You want to know why? Because they're using shit that's already been built before. So, those of you who are using something new, fuck IE. Build it for a good browser. IE9, from what I've seen, is a fine browser. IE10 is probably going to be an okay browser. But, fuck 7. 8's not horrible. Don't worry about 7. Don't worry about
There's
six.
Only one browser in the row, and that's Firefox.
Chrome.
I've never used Chrome. I don't know what this Chrome is.
I ditched Firefox. I went back to Safari.
Damn it, I have to go back to other things now.
I went back to Safari, I switched to Firefox, and you wanna know why? It's the weirdest fucking bug. It would stop refreshing pages. Like redrawing pages. It would just stop.
You know what the problem is.
I'd be sitting here working, doing some blah blah blah. I'd scroll up or scroll down, and nothing would happen. And I'd switch to something else and come back to Firefox, and it would have scrolled down.
You know what the problem is?
Weird.
What's the problem?
There's this bug in all these other browsers where if you have bookmarks on bookmark bar and you go from one open folder to another, it just doesn't automatically open. You have to click on every single one. And I tell you, that is a showstopper.
I don't use bookmarks anymore. I just send it to the cloud.
Well, it's funny because that's why I never moved to Chrome for so very long, because Firefox did that and Chrome didn't. And it used to bother Kenneth that was why.
Here's the thing, though. The one thing that I love about Firefox is I could do command and a number to jump to that tab. And you can't do that in like any other browser. Well, I think
you can do it in Chrome. I'm doing it right now.
Yeah. You can't do it in Safari.
What
in Safari,
are
you hit
right
Command
now, right?
1, it opens the first link on your bookmarks bar, which makes no fucking sense. Really, Safari? Come on. But there's not a good pentadactyl for Safari or Chrome, and that makes me sad.
I really like Chrome, but I saw a little while ago a tweet from a friend of mine who's a total Firefox fan with a really cool UI that if they would have published that UI and it was stable, I'd probably switch to Firefox.
What are you talking about?
There was a UI.
Say that you got this tweet and it was cool.
There was something pretty.
Cool story, bro.
Not gonna be allowed back on the
Too
podcast.
Long did not read.
Too long didn't say shit. Come on.
Why Markdown?
All right. Why Markdown?
This is my link.
Because using a bunch of JavaScript to style things is stupid.
This is basically, if you don't know Markdown, why the fuck you should learn it.
It all depends on what you're doing. I like Markdown. I think Markdown is great. But if I'm writing documentation that's going to be tucked into Sphinx or PyPy or something like that, I have to write RESTful text, so I don't give a shit about Markdown.
He basically gives 6 reasons why you should learn it, and I'm not going to lie. I don't know very much Markdown, so now I'm going to learn Markdown because it's easy, it's fast, it's clean, it's portable, it's flexible, it fits in any workflow.
I think you just read that.
I totally just read that.
You know what? Markdown is cool. I like Markdown. But Markdown's strength isn't Markdown. Markdown's strength is that it's plain fucking text.
True. Well,
that's the strength of Markdown. And that's the exact same strength for restructured text. It's the exact same strength for Creole. It's the exact same strength for Textile. Pick one of these that you like, fucking use it. Be done with it. Markdown isn't any better than any of them. It's actually probably a little bit worse than restructured text because you can't do as much cool shit. Restructured text is basically latex made easy.
They're separate but equal.
And usability and icons.
Restructured text does a whole lot of shit that Markdown and Textile don't do. But
like what?
It's
like
also
what?
A
what
lot fucking harder to write.
Why can't I just use Microsoft Word?
You can. Go for it. You can actually, find the button that you need inside that ribbon.
It was funny. One of our project managers here is it's actually his last name now, but
we're not talking about.
No,
this
I want to talk about my. You'd expect him to use Microsoft.
Hey, you can talk about your thing. I'm saying we're not talking about this next link because we've already covered it.
Oh, okay. Anyways, he basically talks about, and I was like, "Oh, you're not using Word." He's like, "No, I write it in code and then I export it into whatever I need to submit it in." And I was like, "Wow, that's really awesome." So it was cool because he's not a techie guy. He's a new project manager, comes from like the business world. And to see him writing code and wrapping his document in like, I think he was using Byword, which is a really great little app if you haven't tried it.
I think Gina Chapani was saying that she writes her books. She was writing in like WordPress or in TextMate or some shit like that. That just seems awful.
I don't like
obligatory.
Writing
there's a lot of people that write in Vim.
I don't like writing my blog posts in TextMate.
What blog posts? We've never been to this magical site that Rigel has these 7 blogs a week
it's
on.
It's his Tumblr. This is Tumblr where he posts up
cat pictures,
vintage effect photos with Helvetica text put over top of them. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
You know
you're
wrong.
Actually no. Mm-hmm. There's I publish on.
there's other stuff on there.
Hey everybody, you are listening to Rigel, All Star Blogger.
Fuck that shit, man. You know who's a rock star blogger?
No.
I was hoping you knew someone because I don't.
All right, what's this pink site?
So anyway, let's go talk about Drew McClellan.
This man has an armadillo
on his best form implementations. He does. I don't get that.
I think
he's had that for years now.
How big is our armadillo? Is armadillo that big compared to his head, or has he got a tiny head?
You know, I've seen several armadillos. None of the ones that I saw were that big. In fact, I actually saw one turn a backflip once. That was kind of cool.
Tried to or did?
No, it did. So I grew up in Oklahoma, out in like the countryside of Oklahoma, right? So we had
wait, the countryside of Oklahoma? Isn't that Oklahoma?
Well, no, I mean as opposed to like in one of the tiny cities. So we had like armadillos and coyotes and possums and all this shit, right? So there's an armadillo walking down the road one day, and my dad's out, like, I think he was, like, taking a walk, and he had a big stick that he kept in case any dogs came around. I swear to fucking God all this is true, even though it sounds weird as hell. So he sneaks up on the armadillo and taps it on the back, and the fucker flips, jumps in the air, turns a flip, and takes off. Fucking awesome. I've never seen an armadillo turn a backflip, but it sure as fuck did.
So what you're saying, Kenneth Love, is that your roots are redneckish.
That's
you
racist.
Are, in theory, a redneck.
Well, you kind of
lived
have
in the
to...
country, and you made up. Your dad made
armadillo
backflip.
Hey, no, listen, I will agree that the location I grew up produces a lot of rednecks. Completely agree to that one. I myself, though, since I did not engage in redneck activities, would not consider myself to have roots in redneckery.
Well, Kenneth has done extensive reading of all the You Might Be a Redneck books, and has found out that he only matches up 37%, and therefore does not qualify as a true redneck.
Here's the reason why I would say that I'm not a redneck. I am smarter than a fifth grader.
That's true.
And he doesn't have plastic on over his couches.
I wonder if the guy who bought that show is smarter than a fifth grader.
Probably not. So anyway, let's get back to Drew's story here.
Does your gun rack have a gun rack?
Anyway, he's talking about building the forms and stuff. I fucking even forget why I put this in.
Bad designs are easy.
Bad designs are easy.
Designers need control.
They do. Basically, he was like, he was kind of railing against people doing these like form libraries. Like a lot of frameworks will like build your forms for you, right? He doesn't really like that. He thinks that designers should be able to write their own HTML and stuff like that.
I think we need to make a new podcast that's called Bold Type, and we review sites, but we only read the bold type.
So, this one?
Yes, making it work. So what's your point? Designers need control. You've learned things today.
All right, let's go to the next one. This is from Andy Rutledge.
Oh,
this
Andy.
Ties in.
Web design like is product Andy design.
Boom!
A designer who does not write markup in CSS is not designing for the web, but drawing pictures.
Yay.
Web design is product design. Drawing a picture of the product is not designing the product. Web design is experience design. Drawing a picture of the on-screen content or mechanism behaviors is not designing the experience. The functioning HTML, CSS, and sometimes JavaScript is the design.
I want to love this man.
This brings up a point.
We should do 10 podcasts in a row that's nothing but this link. Like 10 episodes in a row.
I'll post a link to this Twitter status, but it's from Flyosity, and today he had a two-part tweet.
Who is that?
My general opinion is that I saw it come through, I think, JNAC or something. My general opinion is that when building software, you should try and learn how to do the job of the person you hand your work off to. That means folks that learn UI design, UI designers should learn code. Coders should learn sysadmin, and it goes around.
Okay.
I fucked that up.
I thought you were having a stroke.
No, that means...
My fingers are crossed.
What?
Kenneth loves that. Our fingers were crossed, and we were going, no stroke, no stroke, no stroke.
No. Never mind. Let's just keep going. So, last thing for today is VimConf.
You'll never see more neck beards at VimConf.
You know, I think most of the neck beards are on Emacs, actually. It's usually, like, the scary, like, back room, pale, skinny dude. That's using Vim.
Like this guy? This
like
ugly
that
dude?
Yeah, Joey.
Joey is such an ugly dude.
But Joey loves Vim. So what they're going to do, it's an online live-streamed conference with other Vim geeks.
Online?
If you're interested, you put in your email. Well, you can't expect these guys to come out.
That means there's no beer.
You can drink while you watch.
You can't drink on the internet.
You can't expect people to come out of their, you know, server caves to go to a conference. Besides that, how long can a conference about Vim really be? But anyway, though, he's looking for people that want to join in, people that want to help out, I guess present stuff, you know, whatever. Anyway, though, so you go sign up, put in your email address, and they will let you know if something comes out of it. So there are enough really cool Vim people out there. I mean, the guy that does Vimcasts and Derek Wyatt and Steve Wash, then I'm sure it'll be an interesting conference. And apparently this Joey dude, whoever the fuck.
What you don't realize is the guy who does Vimcasts has been doing it for 36 years.
he listens to our show, so you should be nice to him.
Yeah.
Hey,
I
so
like
you know how they can
be cool.
This VimConf is going to be virtual. You know how they can do it? They can do it using Google Hangouts.
You know how they'll probably do it? They'll probably do it with like a TMUX session and everybody using Vim. That would make the most sense.
I've never used Vim outside of a Linux.
A Linux?
Outside of like SSH or Terminal. Never tried it.
I was watching Twit earlier and I guess what?
Of course you were.
Sunday was Linux's birthday.
Yeah,
it was something like 30-something years.
Yeah. And I also learned something else, that you will never see a penguin with yellow feet. They don't happen in the wild. That's only for the Linux style.
They're always like,
I'm fucking going to go rent a penguin and like spray paint his feet yellow.
Dude, please tell me you're going to go rent a penguin. please, and then send it to me.
You can rent cows here. Like, it was so bizarre.
Can you guys imagine if you're watching the video and we're doing a show as normal? It's like 35 minute mark, and all of a sudden a penguin starts flying across the desk.
That'd be... Right now, it's really funny.
Hey,
right...
hey, Kenneth, fuck you and your non smiling face.
I just.
Recently, the farmer next to us,
go for it.
Where can they...
my office is literally in the country.
It's like, literally in the country.
Like, literally. There's a farm over there and a farm over there.
It's in a country. So what you're saying is anyways, that you're in the middle of a bunch of rednecks.
No. Oh, I don't know.
You just said you got farmland all around you.
I also have a train station 5 minutes away, and 20 minutes is an apple sore.
Oh, I had a train. There was a train line not far away.
Yeah, within 5 minutes walking, and it would take you 20 minutes to get to an Apple store.
Rigel, if you mess this up, you can no longer be on the show. Where can they find us?
We're talking about 25 minutes.
They can find us at Forest Podcast on Twitter, forestpodcast.com.
What about the email?
forestpodcast@forest.com.
You're never on the show again.
Oh, no.
You can find us on Twitter with the username Forest Podcast. Our website's forestpodcast.com, as it's always been, or forestpodcast.tumblr.com if you're feeling sexy. And you can email us, podcast@forest.com, also if you're feeling sexy. Because Mike, he gets bored during the day. He needs something to look at, girls. Come on.
How many emails do you get a day?
Mike's pretty open. But Rigel, everybody wave goodbye to Rigel.
Emails do we get a day to what?
To the Forest helpline, like the help@forest.com, whatever it is. Or hello. Hello at forest.com.
I don't know, around like 30 to there and around 10 to my Mike at Forest.
Well, that's not bad.
And then the rest are notifications of flagged posts and stuff like that. So, which is like 60 a day.
Do you actually read podcast@forest.com, Mike? Like, do you actually check it?
I do, but...
see if the emails come in?
We don't get stuff. Oh, man. Wait a minute. All right, I'll say...
You realize people are going to send you stuff now.
No, we got something we're gonna announce tomorrow for Obama. Is looking to hire designers and developers and stuff, but we'll give that details out tomorrow. So thanks for everybody for fucking listening. I don't expect very many people made it to this far in the episode. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.